and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will, open your Bibles to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When was the last time you've been into a bookstore? Have you noticed how many books there are in the self-help division? That usually is the biggest area of a bookstore. There's so many self-help books that you can find a self-help book to help you do almost anything better, from A to Z. Tonight, I want us to take from the best-selling book in America every year, from the Almighty Scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written through James, a self-help course. Now, some of you may be familiar with courses such as Dale Carnegie and others that help you to improve your business life, your personal life, any areas of improvement that you wish to make improvements in. They help. Tonight, if you'll listen and apply what James says, you'll be a better family member. You'll be a better member at East Gadsden Church of Christ. You'll be a better worker at your workplace and at home. You'll be better all the way around because this is a self-help from God. Think about what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now how does he become perfect? By the Scriptures. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Ready. Thoroughly furnished. Ready to do any good work this evening. I hope that you won't just sit there and let this lesson be like water on a duck's back. But I hope you'll let it sink in and I hope you'll allow it to improve your life. I'm not saying that here we have a serious problem with these areas. But wouldn't it be nice if where we are now, we could be better tomorrow? I don't care how great you are this evening. Wouldn't it be better if we have improved ourselves tomorrow, and so on and so on. The first way that James says to improve ourselves is to let every man be swift to hear. Now let's look at that part, swift to hear. What does he mean? Be a quick listener? Well, not necessarily. To be ready, willing, and able to listen. You know, there's many people that when someone needs someone to talk to, they make themselves unavailable. How terrible it is for Christians to practice such things as that. God's people cannot afford to be known as people that do not care. We need to be swift to hear. Think of what Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think one of the best ways we can fulfill the burdens of others is to be swift, ready and willing to listen to others. You know what has always amazed me about the people that you think are good to talk with? It's usually that person is really a good listener. I've sat before with someone and they did all the talking. And when the conversation was over, they said, I really enjoy talking to you. Why did they enjoy it? Because I listen. If we will not listen, others will not want to even talk with us. I firmly believe one of the best ways we can help bear the burdens of others is to listen. Think, how are we going to know what their burdens are if we do not listen? If we do not listen, how are we going to know enough about the burden to even be able to carry out any way of helping to bear that burden? Oh, how we all need to strive daily to practice listening. Many times we fail at listening simply because we're not swift to listen. Others do not want to come to us and talk to us because we're not ready, or we're not willing, or we're not able. Let's make ourselves swift. But now notice it says swift to hear. Now you can hear a noise and not know what it is. You can hear many things and never take it in, soak it in, never interpret it in your mind. I think what James is saying here is not just to hear, but to actually listen. Actually take what someone is saying and process it in our mind. How often do we fail at this? How often do you fail? Let's have a little test here. Who is the last person you met? Can you tell me the last person you met? It may be this evening. It may be this morning you met someone. It may be over the past few days, but I'm sure that everyone here has met someone that they have not ever met before. Can you tell me their name? Why? If the answer is no, why? We weren't listening, were we? How often do you walk up to someone and you say, I'm so-and-so, and they tell you your name and you walk away and someone says, what was their name? I don't know. Why do we not know? We never listen. Some of the best advice I've heard on this particular subject is, before you walk away from that person, say their name at least once, and it's best to say it twice before you leave them. That makes you listen. You know, another problem that we have with listening is in conversation. How many times when we are having conversation with someone, while they're speaking, we're thinking about what we're going to say. And we don't really concentrate on what they're saying. And when they have a pause in their conversation, we begin to speak. And we walk away, and really many things that they may have shared with us, maybe even troubles that they have in their life, we do not know what was said because we were not listening. Instead, we were thinking how we were going to respond, how we were going to keep the conversation going. Some of the best advice I've heard in that area is stop trying to keep the conversation going. Just listen, and it will keep going. That's beautiful advice. And you say, well, is this really a need to talk about from the pulpit? Yes, it's a need. No one wants to talk with someone that will not listen. We as Christians must be caring. If you care for me, you're going to know my name. If you care for me, you're going to listen when I speak. Also, another way to prove that many times we're not the listeners we should be is because we can walk out of a sermon and we don't know what the introduction was. We don't know what the points were. We don't know what the closing. We really do not know anything about what was said. It's because we didn't hear? No, we heard the voice. It's because we didn't listen. Listening is an exercise. Listening is something we must force ourselves to do. It's something that, just as any exercise, the more we do it, the better we will become. I challenge all of us tonight to work on listening. One more illustration on listening. How many times do we disobey God's commands? Why? Because we haven't listened to God. You know, you can say to a child, come here. And if that child refuses to come and you say, come here, and they continue to refuse, what do we usually do? We turn around to someone and we say, they're not listening to me. Now that means they may have heard, but they're not obeying. They're not listening is what we usually say. Sometimes we do the same thing to God. We hear what God says, but we don't practice it. We don't listen to God. We don't respect Him enough to obey Him. James gave us a powerful self-help when he said, listen, be swift to hear. But notice also he said to be slow to speak. Now what is he saying here? Slow to speak. Is that to pull out that long drawn southern accent? No. I think he is saying that we need to think before we speak. We need to consider the words. We need to be slow enough in our response time that before we say anything, we think and see if it's the wise thing to say. Before we hurt someone's feelings, before we say something that is unnecessary, before we involve ourselves in gossip, we should be slow to speak. We should think about it. We should process it in our mind. And then, if it is worth saying, speak. Now, one thing we should emphasize here is that even though we're to be slow to speak, that's not to mean that we should not speak at all. You know, usually when we're offended by speech, it's because of the two extremes. You either walk away from a person and you say, they spoke too much. They said too much. They offended me. They said thus and thus, and that hurt my feelings. It's because they were probably speaking off the top of their head. They were not thinking about what they were saying. Or then we have the other extreme of the person who doesn't say anything. And we walk away and we say, why were they rude to me? Why didn't they speak? I spoke to them. Why did they not speak? Or they spoke, but yet they said hardly anything. What's wrong? Did I offend them? You see, we need to be careful in our speech. The two extremes are dangerous. We can really pull each other down if we're not careful with the way we use our tongue. There in James, look at the third chapter. In the third chapter in verse 5, a few verses that we're probably familiar with these verses, but yet we probably could be reminded of them more often and live a better life. Look at verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But now notice these strong words. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Sometimes the tongue is a deadly poison because it is not used at all. Sometimes the tongue is a deadly poison because it is overused. This evening, let us beware of our speech. It's so important how we use our tongue. That is a powerful self-help. When I think back on how people I know use their tongue, I'm so thankful. I probably wouldn't be here in the pulpit today if it weren't for parents and grandparents, relatives, and the members of my local congregation where I grew up encouraging. They encouraged over and over. It was their tongue being used with wisdom. Our young men and young ladies, they can do great things. They may not be preachers, but they definitely can do great things in the church for the rest of their life if we use our tongues wisely. How are we going to teach the little children if we don't use our tongue? How are we going to carry out the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel if we don't use our tongue? How are we going to encourage each other and build each other up if we don't use our tongue? Speech is so important. But let us be careful how we use our tongue. But then also he gives the third and final self-help that we will look at this evening. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Man cannot avoid anger altogether. That's not within the ability of man. Now I know some men, and my father being one of them, that can avoid anger, just unreal the amount that he can avoid anger. I've seen my father angry very few times in my life, and we spent a lot of time together. He's a very, very patient man. But no man can avoid anger altogether. So then we must ask ourselves, how are we going to handle ourselves when we're angry? Now, Jesus was angry. Jesus looked and he saw the merchants set up in the house of the Lord and he grew angry. And he drove them out, but yet he did not sin. I want to ask you a question this evening that is the best question I've ever heard on this subject of anger. What makes you angry? What makes you angry? I went to a football game the other night and a few bad calls made some people very angry sitting around us. Angry enough to say some pretty nasty things. What makes you angry? Material loss, does it make you angry? Harming your pride, does it make you angry? Jealousy, does it make you angry? Or is it things such as Satan's snares? Does it make you angry when you see Satan pull down a faithful member of the Lord's church? Does it make you angry when you see Satan pulling a member against another member in the church? Does it make you angry when you look out in the world and you see how so many things of worldly nature have pulled our teenagers in and have destroyed so many of our teenagers? What makes you angry? It was godly things and the misuse of spiritual things that made our Savior angry. And He's the example that we're to follow. This evening, how do you handle your anger? And what makes you angry? We need to be very careful if the only times we grow angry is times when it has to do with worldly things. But let us all make sure that at least some of the spiritual things make us angry. Angry because we care. Angry because we love the Lord and we're fighting the enemy of Satan. But notice that verse 20 one more time. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Brethren, if we let the things of the world draw ourselves into anger, we can't work the righteousness of God. If that's the only thing we grow angry about, we're going to find ourselves in a very dangerous situation. Now, I'm not saying, I don't think James is saying that we can never grow angry about anything in the world. I think we can. I think it's how we handle it. But we need to be very careful if that is the only things that pull anger out of our being. This evening, James has given us more to think about than it'll take a lifetime to fulfill. And even then, we'll fall a little short. How do you hear? Are you the type of person that people say, I want to talk to them because they really listen to me? And they're always willing to listen. How do you speak? Are you the type of person that you think before you speak? And you try to use your words to encourage and build up the church? What makes you angry this evening? The best way to start a self-help course is to begin on the right path. If you're not a child of God, you need to begin this evening to improve yourself so you can help improve the world around us. If you've already become a child of God, but yet you've fallen, you see that there are some serious areas in your life that need help, need improving. There's only one that can improve that, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rely upon Him. We'll encourage you all we can, but you must obey God. If you need to respond, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.